Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Reggie, I just sold my car online.
Let's go, Grandpa. Wait, you did?
Yep, on Carvana. Just put in the license plate, answered a few questions, got an offer in minutes. Easier than setting up that new digital picture frame.
You don't say.
Yeah, they're even picking it up tomorrow. Talk about fast.
Wow, way to go. So, about that picture frame.
Forget about it. Until Carvana makes one, I'm not interested.
Car selling made easy. On Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. And doesn't it feel like this morning we're back? Because it's a Thursday, it's almost the start of the weekend. Preview tonight, game on the weekend, Champions League's done, Premier League's back. And we've got some big stories for you this morning. In fact, a big transfer mistake as Man United approach Murillo of Nottingham Forest as centre-back. We'll talk about that. Also, Enrique, I want to talk about him as well because I think we saw last night, yet again, why we should be all over that deal, but why we probably not and why that's a big mistake. Also, more updates around the stadium. Apparently, it's going to take 10 years, not 5 years. It's going to cost $3 billion, not $2 billion, and Man United are broke. Have we been spun again by more lies? Apparently the data team at Manchester United in the industry are being revered as one of the best in world football. I mean, they're not, but more spin from Manchester United. And a few other bits to get into as well. Also, isn't it funny how Chelsea had an issue with somebody leaking the team early before their Champions League game against PSG yesterday morning? And Manchester United used to have a problem with somebody leaking the team early. I don't know who it could be on Chelsea's bench who used to be on United's bench. I just can't figure it out. I'm getting the word EastEnders, peroxide. And we'll leave it there. I just can't figure out who it could be. We mustn't speculate as well. Anyway, we move to Manchester United. Lots to get on with on the show this morning. Let's start off with the transfer story. I think the Enrique story is very interesting. I want to talk about that. But let's start off with this story around Murillo this morning. So Murillo of Nottingham Forest is apparently now a target for Manchester United. Let me just read this here because I saw it somewhere. Yeah, Manchester United are now targeting centre-backs for the summer due to persistent injuries, with Forest's Murillo a standout option. He combines youth, Premier League know-how and a no-ego attitude, which is exactly what Ineos wants in big stage players without drama. Murillo isn't agitating for a transfer, but competition from Liverpool, Chelsea and Real Madrid could push a move, particularly if Forest face relegation. Centre-back wasn't a top priority, but Martinez's calf issue and Delitt's ongoing back problem have changed that. This is coming from iPaper. This is a huge mistake. I'd love to get your comments on it, but this is a huge mistake. I think he's a really good player. And I think this is where intelligence and football understanding in your recruitment team and your board is really important. He is a fantastic player. And I think he'd be a really good signing for Manchester United. However, he isn't what we need. He's not a priority. It would be like signing a good goalkeeper. We don't need a goalkeeper. We don't need a centre-back as much as we need midfielders, full-backs, and maybe even a winger. So prioritising a centre-back, I'm sorry, our data team should go back to the F1 because they're not very clever. We don't need a centre-back more than we need a left-back and a right-back and three midfielders and a left-winger. We just don't because... And this bollocks about Martinez and De Ligt being injured. We've still got Yoro, Heaven, Maguire's going to stay. Luke Shaw can play left centre-back. Mazraoui can play right centre-back. So even if De Ligt and Martinez were injured all of next season, we've still got five options. And our problem in the Premier League against Arsenal, against Man City, against Liverpool... at Everton, hasn't actually been centre-back. We haven't had huge issues at centre-back this season because the way Carrick set us up is quite deep on the edge of our box. And we can even play Martinez and Harry Maguire there and they haven't got a lot of pace. So centre-back, to me, is not the priority. And I don't want us to go and spend £50 million on a decent centre-back when that money should be going on left-back and right-back. I mean, I don't know how many of you watched the Champions League last night, but we've got a big problem next season, as has the rest of the Premier League. The football in the Premier League isn't very good. Everybody's obsessed with corners and set pieces and throw-ins and booting it long and percentage ball. People are playing football on the continent. We need to start playing football because it will set us apart. I was watching the Champions League last night and I thought, if any of Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal or Man United figure this out first, they're going to cook next season. Look at what Leverkusen, look at what PSG, look at what Galatasaray, look at what Real Madrid, look at what Atletico Madrid did to all the Premier League clubs. They didn't focus on corners. They didn't focus on long throw-ins. They focused on football. I'm not saying Leverkusen were great and I'm not saying Atletico Madrid were great, but they all played football. So Manchester United could get ahead of everybody else by playing football. And to do that, we need fullbacks. We need a midfield. We do not need another centre-back, in my opinion. Absolutely not. I think it would be a waste of money. So look, let me know your thoughts. Man United linked to Murillo. It's just... And also, we know we haven't got a bottomless pit. And I know what happens. You go and get Murillo for £50 million. And the data team and Sir Jim go, yeah, we beat Liverpool to Murillo. And then you realise you've got seven centre-backs and you've still got Luke Shaw and Deleau at fullback. He's a good player. And I think I did a video on That's Football last week saying he'd be a really good signing for Liverpool. But they've hardly got any centre-backs. We've got loads of centre-backs. What does that mean for Yoro and Aidan Heaven as well if we go and buy Murillo and we've still got Martinez, De Ligt, Maguire, Mazraoui, Luke Shaw? It's not an area that Man United need to improve on. And we've got to start... And if the data team are saying centre-back, they're crap. They're rubbish. I was watching PSG last night. I was even watching Chelsea-PSG last night, the fullbacks on both teams. Cucurella, Gusto, Mendes, Hakimi, width. And it's so important, and it's what Man United should be about, absolutely. Fullbacks first, I completely agree with Beth, who's in the chat. So yeah, I completely agree with that. I'm not saying Murillo's a bad signing. I'm just saying it's a bad signing for Manchester United. I mean, imagine if Bruno Fernandes stayed and we went and bought Musiala. Musiala's a fantastic signing, but it's not priority. Imagine if we went and bought, João Pedro from Chelsea. Good signing, but we've got Sesko. You can't buy players in positions where you've got strength, no matter how good they are, if you're going to leave holes in the team. And centre-back is not a hole in the team. It's just not. Would you say it's a good idea to gut Spurs for the wing-back spots and then direct maximum spending towards the two critical midfield spots as Enchanted? I mean, when you say gutting Spurs, I do have a problem with the mentality of Spurs players. I wouldn't mind Bergvall or Vuskovic because they're young players who I think, you know, you can't really, you know, say that they're bottlers, but... I mean, I'm not going for the Van der Ven's, thank you. Emily Derry with the Super Chat. Thank you, Emily. She says, Wilcox and his world-class data team are watching a completely different team to the rest of us, willfully ignoring obvious problem areas to sign someone just so rivals don't get them. It never works. Thank you, Emily. I mean, look, Emily, just very, very quickly, before we talk about the Enrique stuff that I want to talk about, this made me laugh this morning. Let me see if I can find where it came from. Yeah, here it is. So it's coming in from the Manchester Evening News. Listen to this. Industry and insiders and industry experts now talk of United's use of data as being amongst the best in the Premier League. One of Radcliffe's first moves was to hire Michael Senosi from the Mercedes F1 team in 2024. The data department has already proved its worth, and now it will help club bosses identify a new head coach. You can't, you know... I mean, we're not humble, are we? I mean, you can't just have no evidence. And I can't walk onto the big Britain's Big Talent show, Britain's Got Talent. I can't walk on stage in front of Cowell and KSI and Holden and go, "Hey, I'm the best dancer since Michael Jackson. I don't even need an audition." Like, where's the proof? And I'd love to know who these insiders and industry experts are that are saying that Man United are now amongst the best when it comes to data. I mean, can we have any proof of that? Or can I just say that? I've decided I am... Insiders and experts have decided that I am one of the best actors in the world. It's just put it out there. Manchester Evening News, put it out there. I mean, come... Where is your evidence that we have now got one of the best data teams in the Premier League? Where? We want to sign Belaba. He's been shit all season. We're trying to... The manager shortlist is Glasner, De Zerbi and Carrick. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't think the data's that good. I think I'd rather trust ChatGPT. If I said, ChatGPT, find me three midfielders for the summer that would be perfect for United, I bet Belabor won't be there. And I bet we won't have those bloody managers either. Bloody... I mean, I just want... It's pure spin. It's absolute spin. Let's put a story out to the Manchester Evening News that we're really good at something to make us look really good. Yeah, great idea. Do it. Yeah, brilliant. Champers all around. I mean, you can't just say you're good at something when you're not good at something. Maybe we're going to be good at something, but we're not at the moment. Right, somebody just said, can you do the ChatGPT thing? Oh, imagine if Belabor comes up. Okay, so let's do it. So what was it I said? Let's do this. This is going to be funny because this is live. I might be sitting down here. What three midfielders should Man United sign this summer to guarantee top four next season? Oh, we'll talk about Enrique in a minute. God, it's loading up. If it says Belabor, I'm quitting. Forget winning the Premier League, I'm out. Well, it's taking its time. I tell you what, it's probably going, this is impossible. João Neves. It says João Neves, number one, the elite controller. He's perfect for United. He's press resistant. He's a young tempo setter. And he fixes United's inability to control games, lack of composure under pressure, build up play from deep. He would play the number six, similarly to how Rodri controls from City. So I'm happy with that one. Bruno Guimarães, number two, the complete midfielder. Elite ball winning and pressing, outstanding progressive passing, leadership and intensity. United's lack of physical dominance in the midfield, he fixes that. He fixes their poor defensive transitions and he's got leadership on the pitch. He'd be a box-to-box engine. And then number three... It's not Belabor. Frankie de Jong, the ball progressor, one of the best ball carriers in world football, breaks pressing systems by dribbling through midfields, keeps possession under pressure. He'd fix United's inability to progress the ball through midfield. Slow transitions, lack of technical quality, left-sided number eight. Ah, so you go. My data's better than yours. Swibble on it, Radcliffe. I mean, look, some of those players aren't realistic, but Belabor's not. I'll tell you what, that would be... João Neves, Bruno Guimarães, Frankie de Jong. I mean, you're not getting two of them, let's be honest. You're not going to get that. I'll do the manager one in a minute, but I want to just get through some of the comments and I want to talk about that. I might just change that a little bit and say... oh, here we go. It says, a more realistic three-player midfield shortlist United could actually afford. Should we do that? See what it does. I'm loving this. We can make a whole show. Goldbridge does ChatGPT. So it says, more realistically. Oh my God, don't do Belabor. Don't do Belabor. He's not in the first two. Oh, interesting. So a more realistic three. Listen to this. This is ChatGPT. Oh, sack our data team. They're shite. So the more realistic three is João Gomes from Wolves, the ball winner. One of the best tacklers in the Premier League. Huge engine, pressing intensity, already proven in England. He fixes United's lack of midfield aggression and his protection of the back line. Number two, Ederson of Atalanta, the progressive engine. Elite ball carrier, physically dominant, great at breaking lines through the midfield. Fixes United's slow transitions and lack of athletic midfielders. And then the third one, is Coop Miners of Atalanta as well. He's fantastic long passing, scores goals from midfield, tactically intelligent, and fixes United's lack of midfield control and need for goal threat from deeper areas. I tell you what, I put my hands up. Beth, you're sacked. We're getting ChatGPT on. We just need to... Actually, Beth, can we borrow your face and just get ChatGPT and your voice? And we'll AI you with ChatGPT. Actually, fuck that. Beth, you can stay. I'm going on holiday for 6 months. They can happily use my face, my voice, and just ChatGPT the show. We're sorted. I mean, look, that's interesting. I mean, look, it wouldn't be my three, but it doesn't include Belabor and it's data-driven. and everything it says is true, it just shows you, doesn't it? Data, my arse. The next international break is so important. We must advance on Enrique and one of the midfields to target in that period. Big win needed on Sunday, says Chris. This is one of the best morning shows I've done in weeks. It's great. I could play that all day. Emily Derry says, data is only as good as the people applying it in the decision-making. It can be manipulated to suit agendas. It reaches back to the people making decisions, Wilcox and the board. This is a great point about data. Parameters. Emily's absolutely spot on. Ben Jacobs yesterday, when Maud's asked him about DeMarco, no, he's over 26. We know that parameter's there. So your data is driven by your parameters. We don't want to spend wages over 200 grand a week. We don't want to buy players over 26. That's two parameters straight away that restrict your data. So how are you one of the best data people in the Premier League when you've got two stupid parameters that we know of already? The Athletic had an article about Spurs today where it was said that apparently one player had already publicly said, I'm fine with relegation since I'll get out this summer anyway. Nice attitude. It doesn't surprise me, Perk. Doesn't surprise me at all. Patrick Lynch says, the last decade has been marred by terrible squad construction. What good is data when it identifies non-problem areas? How is it fans can see glaring issues and these experts can't, says Patrick. Well, I wanted to go back to that because...
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, Sal.
Hank, what's going on? We haven't worked a case in years.
I just bought my car at Carvana and it was so easy. Too easy.
Think something's up?
You tell me. They got thousands of options.
Mm-hmm.
Found a great car at a great price.
Uh-huh.
And it got delivered the next day.
It sounds like Carvana just makes it easy to buy your car, Hank.
Yeah, you're right. Case closed.
Buy your car today on Carvana. Delivery fees may apply.
Like, I watched PSG last night. I don't need to watch PSG to know what they can be. I actually thought Chelsea might lay a glove on them because of... PSG have been very tired this season, but they destroyed them in the second half with their attacking patterns and how Luis Enrique sets them up. Obviously, he's a manager that looks to counters very quickly, balanced possession, very, very good, would be perfect for Man United. I wanted Chelsea to beat them because if he'd lost with PSG, it almost is the end of the PSG project and then he leaves in the summer. But if they keep doing well, I think the chances of him staying are probably quite big, which is why when we're talking about Luis Enrique, I feel like Man United have messed it up already because the conversations with Enrique should have happened already. Like we shouldn't be waiting. I spoke to somebody a couple of weeks ago about the manager situation and they said, I don't think United have actually approached anybody. I think they've just spoken to agents and said, we're compiling a list. They haven't actually gone for anybody. And that's a massive mistake. They're basically compiling the data. But you snooze, you lose. Tuchel signs a new contract for England. I think Ancelotti's done it for Brazil. You snooze, you lose. And Enrique, over the last few weeks, when PSG have been losing games, might have been thinking about enough. After last night, he might be thinking, I'm really happy here. But if we'd got into him before last night, we might have been able to sell the project where he's sort of like, I really want to do this. But apparently we've not done that. So we're sat on our hands again. And all roads lead to Carrick or De Zerbi if we do that, because they're available. But we should be all over Enrique. And you know what? The warning signs are there as well. Like, there's two things I want to say about the manager that I think is really important. One, we have to have one of the best styles of football in Europe. We have to. We've seen what's happened in Europe this week. Premier League is so short when it comes to technical footballing ability. It's so pragmatic. It's so based on percentages. I mean, you know, you probably walk into Arsenal's training ground at the moment and the guy who's getting the biggest cheer is the set-piece coach. It's embarrassing. You know, if you're the coach that's working on passing drills and you walk into training and everyone's cheering the set-piece coach, you must be going, what's gone wrong? Like, we need a style of football. We need somebody who can deliver a style of football. And obviously someone like Luis Enrique delivers that in bucketfuls because he's about wing play and Man United need that. The second most important thing is, and I don't think this gets spoken about enough, it feels to me like every recruitment that Man United make, and we have discussed this as a community, so it's a community thing where we can basically pat ourselves on the back because we've spoken about it all the time. Ten Hag gets the Man United job. Ranić has done 6 months of incredible background work. He's exposed open heart surgery. He's got players that he thinks United need. He thinks he's going to be the director of football. United stab him in the back and they sack him. On his way out, he wants to speak to Ten Hag and tell him everything he knows. And Ten Hag's like, no, I'm in charge here. Louis van Gaal, Man United, Mourinho comes in. Mourinho, I don't want to know about Louis van Gaal. Amorim, Ten Hag, I don't know what I want. I don't want to know about Ten Hag. We keep doing this. We keep doing it all the time. And it's a massive, massive mistake because we just keep appointing a manager and then not learning from the past. As a football club, it's even worse for Jason Wilcox, Omar Berada, Sir Jim Radcliffe. We go from Amorim to the next guy, Carrick, De Zerbi, whoever. We go from Ten Hag to Amorim, and we learn nothing about the past. We learn nothing about the magnitude of the job. We learn nothing that every time we sack a manager and we don't look back, we just look forward, we keep that there. It's like walking from one room to another and leaving that room behind you messy. You leave your cups in there, you leave your clothes on the floor. And then when you go back in there, you know what it is? You know what Man United is, right? You've got a flat, your bachelor pad, whatever you want to call it, right? You're in a relationship. You've got a girlfriend or a boyfriend, whatever. You dump them, but you don't clean the mess up. You go out on the pool. You know, you've dressed yourself up. You've had a shower. You look presentable. You're out having a dance. You find somebody. They like you. You like them. You take them back to the flat. They open the door and they go, what's all this shit? Because you never clean up. And you just keep back bringing back your new partner to the flat that you lived in with your previous partners that you've never cleaned up. You just accumulate shit. And the new, you know, your new partner walks in and goes, whose is this underwear? Whose is that cup? You know, it's like we don't clear up. That's our job. That's not the new manager's job. And the new manager tends to lose his job because we didn't clean up the shit from the previous partner. And that's what we keep doing. And it's so true. We go to the next manager expecting them to solve all the problems of the past that we've created because we won't clean up. And that's why we're going to keep making mistakes unless you bring somebody in who has the experience to go, I know how to clean this up. I've been in this situation before. Stand aside, I'm going to clean this up. And that comes with experience. There's people in the chat who say I'm exactly like that. Not me, them. So, look, this to me is why Luis Enrique is perfect, because he went into PSG. Loads of previous managers at PSG had come in like him to win the Champions League, and they all fell short. Ancelotti, Emery, Pochettino, the list goes on and on and on and on. And Enrique came in and went, look, it shouldn't really be my problem to fix all this, but let's fix it together. Let's get rid of this. Let's do this. Let's do that. And they go and win the Champions League. And he also did a very good job at Barcelona, who had their own problems as well. So I think that what we have to consider about the new manager is they've got to have a really exciting style of play, and they've got to have the aura and experience to deliver that. But they've also got to have the aura and experience to clear up shit, because United won't do it. Mourinho came in. He's dealing with Moyes and Van Gaal's shit. Ollie comes in. He's dealing with Moyes, Van Gaal, and Mourinho's shit. Ten Hag comes in and the list goes on and on. So you've got to bring somebody in that knows how to deal with shit. And that means experience. Has De Zerbi dealt with anybody's shit at Marseille and Brighton? No. Has Carrick dealt with anybody's shit? Really? No. Has Glasner? Not really. Man United have got the biggest pile of shit that they don't want to clean up. The next manager's got to know how to do it. And I think Amorim did try to do it, Caxo, and I don't want to talk about Amorim. I think he did try to do it, but the board wouldn't let him do it. But I think if you bring someone like Enrique in, he's perfect for United. But we've got to be talking to him now. We've got to be talking to him now, and it's going to get harder and harder, because you look at PSG last night and you just think, I hope Chelsea beat them in the second leg. I don't think they will, but I hope somebody knocks them out before the final, because I think that's our ticket, really. But I don't know whether we're talking to him or not. I really don't know. Marlowe's in the hat chat. He says at least three English teams on their way out of the Champions League. Is the fifth place Champions League spot in danger? I will answer that one for you, Marlowe. I'll answer that one for you now because it's interesting what Rooney said. He said, if Michael Carrick gets the... I think if Man United get Champions League football, he should get the job. But he definitely puts himself... I disagree. I think that's just such a low bar. If Michael Carrick gets Champions League football, he should get the job. I think that's such a low bar. I mean, we were 3 points off the Champions League when he got the job, and everybody else is playing double the amount of games and is basically shit. Liverpool, Chelsea, Aston Villa. I don't think getting the Champions League, he should get the job. If we'd have been 12 points... No, that's too many. If we'd have been 8 points off the Champions League and the top five are playing really well and we get it, okay, I understand that. But I don't think the Champions League is... I really hope the club aren't using that. I mean, look, Rooney's free to make his own mind up. Absolutely fantastic. No problem with that at all. But I don't think that that is enough, because I actually don't think getting top five in this Premier League season when you're not playing in Europe and everyone else is a bit shit is that difficult. And I don't think that's enough to give somebody a three-year contract. Not when we've got people like I've just been talking available. In relation to... But I think United probably will give it Carrick. I've said that all along because they're fucking useless. But... about the top three. Okay, listen to this. So, this was from Rich Fay, a journalist, says that the Premier League is still well-placed to secure an additional Champions League spot next season. Despite a poor week for English clubs in Europe, it would take something extraordinary for them to miss out entirely. We're still number one in the season associates association coefficients, and we're quite well clear of Spain, Germany and Italy. And also, there's not that many German clubs in, really. Leverkusen probably go out to Arsenal. That leaves Bayern Munich. Same with Italy. It looks like it's going to be us and Spain. So we've got 9 out of 9 clubs still left in Europe. And Germany and Italy are down to 5 out of 7 and 4 out of 7. So I don't think we need to worry about that. It's heavily lopsided towards us, basically. None of these signings mean anything until we know who our manager is, says Keel. Enchanted Angel says, would you say it's a good idea to Guts? I've done that one. James says, Mark, worryingly, it fits with what Ben Jacobs said about a centre-back who can cover left-back. I think Murillo is great, but it's not what we need. Yeah, I mean, is this Data Dean? I haven't heard from Data Dean in ages, actually. I think he might be working at United because it's got his fingerprints all over it. Yeah, let's buy a left-winger who can play left-back and a centre-back who can play left-back and centre-back. No, let's not. Let's buy a specialist left-back. How's about this? Let's buy a specialist left back who's really good at it, who goes forward and defends and creates things. Let's buy Lewis Hall. Let's buy Truffert from Bournemouth. Let's buy a proper specialist left back because we haven't got one. No, let's buy a left back, centre back, left winger who can play all three positions average. Basically, if we buy a centre back that's decent but can play left back and left wing, they're basically a £150 million player for £40 million because it's one player for three positions. No, it's not. You're buying a player that can do a job in three positions, a jack of all trades, a master of none. Let's buy a specialist left back. We're Manchester United. Let's buy a specialist in a position where we need a player. And it does. You're right. It does feel a little bit like that. It feels like we are trying to cut corners by doing the whole, well, he can play here and he can play there. Data Dean, go and sit on a bloody pylon. I want Enrique, but seems more likely we signed Valverde. Have you seen those posts on social media claiming we're looking at him? Valverde's never leaving Real Madrid. He's one of those players, like, he's just never leaving Real Madrid. Yeah, never leaving Real Madrid. Harry says it's trying to cut costs. Well, look, let's just delve into that because it could have a direct impact on what we do in the summer. So this is coming out again. To be fair, it's in the Sun. But they had the article yesterday about the stadium. Man United's planned new 100,000-seat stadium, originally costed at $2 billion, is now expected to exceed $3 billion due to delays. The key holdup is a land dispute. United offered $50 million for a Freightliner-owned site, but the owners demand $400 million, potentially requiring a compulsory purchase order. Experts warn the project will keep rising in cost, take at least 10 more years, pushing completion beyond the mid-2030s, and may need an extra billion as well. So Jim Radcliffe's recent comments about could also complicate approvals, though the club says it will be fully privately funded. I mean, if you are a private company funding Man United, you're a fucking idiot. I'm sorry. The only thing that keeps that club afloat is us. It's only because we've got hundreds of millions of fans who, you know, go out and buy kits because they look like something when we were good. Like, nostalgia keeps Man United afloat. The love for the club from us, the fans, keeps hands in pockets that go into the club. From a business model, we'd be bankrupt years ago. Absolutely years ago. So why a private company wants to invest in Man United with those prats in charge, I don't know. I really don't. But look, am I surprised? Not really. I think it was a year ago yesterday. In fact, we spoke about it yesterday that they were talking about how Manchester United, a year ago, they showed us those projects, didn't they, of what was going to happen. And in a year, nothing's happened. In fact, it's become more delayed. But we were told in 5 years' time, we were going to have a massive stadium and we were going to earn £100 million a bloody week or whatever it was. And United would be dominating European football. We'll be paying that back. We'll be paying that back for a long time and we've not even built it yet. Right, I'm going to do the ChatGPT thing again on the manager. Someone just said, give me the top three realistic candidates for the next manager of Manchester United to take them back to the top of the Premier League in the next 3 years. We'll do that. Let it load up. A couple other bits I wanted to talk about.
What's up, Uso? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Oh, did you see this from Swedish Rumble? I liked this. He said, if we intend to pick a manager who doesn't play a style of football that is very similar to how companies buy and is playing right now, I want an explanation. And I don't think the explanation we would get could survive scrutiny. Everything points at this way of playing being, as my son would say, OP. Let me know if you disagree. But we don't want to be slow and boring like City. It doesn't work like that. No Bayern fan think they're slow and boring this season. Bayern fans believe that company's tactics is 10 times as effective than what they got from Tuchel and Nagelsmann. Factually, they aren't slow and boring. See the blow graph. You play with wide wingers who can drive the ball forwards towards the middle of the pitch. If pressured, i.e. a right foot on the left and a left on the right. You have fullbacks who can invert to overload centrally, and you play a 4-2-3-1 with a fairly high block and high press when you lose the ball. From that starting position, when you have the ball, you keep grinding certain movement patterns. This style of play has been completely dominant in England the last decade, currently 1-2 in the Premier League, and it's just as dominant outside the Premier League as seen from companies buying. Yes, football is ever evolving. Football may be different in 10 years, but we've got two options. We can either play we know works right here, right now, or we can gamble on being able to predict that a new way of style that has yet to be tried will be able to overtake that. We can't afford to get it wrong. We can't spend 2 or 3 years going in the wrong direction. I think it's spot on. I think this is why Enrique, for me, is the person to go for. Stylistically, I think Barcelona, Bayern and PSG are the best three styles of football in world football at the moment. I think Man City have been decent this season, but it's not, you don't need Data Dean. You don't need Data Dean. ChatGPT's just got sacked, by the way. you're not going to believe this. They've ruined it. You're not going to believe who they've said are the three managers Man United should go for. They've taken the piss. ChatGPT has just gone and absolutely ruined us all. We'll come back to that in a minute. But it makes me laugh how ridiculously thick Man United are. Because if I ran a football club, which I do, Gold Devils, Monday night. And look, it's simplistic, right? I was given that team. A lot of the good players had already signed for other clubs because we started late. So I was like, to my coaching team, we need to go out and get the best players we can to play this style of football, right? So if you're in charge of Man United and you've sacked Ruben Amorim, you've abandoned that project, Carrick's stabilising, keeping you afloat, giving you stability. You've got a blank canvas, basically. I know football. You know football. What would you do? What would I do? I would say to Omar Berada, Barcelona, Bayern Munich and PSG play the best football in the world at the moment. I want to play like them. I want to play that style of football. I think all of them play a back four, don't they? I mean, Bayern do play a back four because they've got Lehmer and... Yeah, they all play a back four. Tick. They all play expansive, exciting football with wingers and fullbacks. They're all good to watch, entertaining to watch. I want to play football like PSG, Bayern or Barcelona. I know it's not going to happen overnight, but that's how I want to play. Go and get me a manager that does that. In fact, try and get me one of their managers, you know? Probably not going to get Hansi Flick. Probably not going to go for Vincent Kompany because of Man City. Ooh, Luis Enrique. The three... absolutely do not know what we're doing. De Zerbi, Glasner, Carrick, Iriola. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what we're doing. We are a football club that lives off traditionally wing play, high intensity football, risk taking football. There are three clubs out there playing like that. Barcelona play very risky football. Bayern Munich dominate teams, but it's very high intensity chance creation. And PSG do the same. They play very open. It would be hard to get a new manager if everyone else was playing like Arsenal and you're like, well, I want to play differently. But there's three clubs doing it. And it seems to me we're going, you know what I feel like we're doing? Well, we can't afford that. That's great, but we can't afford that. And that, it feels like United do that a lot. That's amazing. That's what we should be doing, but we can't do that. We can't do that. And we can. That's what we should be doing. We're Manchester United. Right, you're going to cry about this. You're going to cry about this. This is incredible. So I put into ChatGPT, which give me the top realistic candidates for the next manager of Man United to take them back to the top of the Premier League in the next 3 years. Number one is a piss take. Ruben Amorim, one of Europe's most innovative young coaches, elite 3-4-3 tactical system, proven at developing young players, won the league with Sporting. United needs structure and identity. His system is high pressing, wing backs creating width, fast transitions, and in a 3-year ceilings, he could build a young, aggressive squad capable of challenging City and Arsenal. We're being bantered. They're either doing it to take the piss, or actually they're saying we've just got rid of the guy who probably could have done it. Option two, Xabi Alonso. Created one of the best tactical teams in Europe, extremely intelligent positional football, former United rival but respected globally, flexible systems, 3-4-3, 4-2-3-1, dominant possession play, excellent counter-pressing, tactical intelligence, calm leadership, elite player respect, 3-year ceiling, title-challenging football if backed in the transfer market. And then option three, Zinedine Zidane, won 3 Champions Leagues in a row, elite man management, handles superstar dressing room perfectly, big game mentality, calm authority, tactical adaptability, 3-year ceiling, could restore elite mentality and trophy culture quickly, has the aura alone to transform and get people believing. I'm going to put the 5 most realistic managers next. I mean, is the Amorim one taking the piss or actually are they looking at it and going, if you'd given him 3 years and listened to him, you might have built something? I mean, I don't know. We certainly can't go back, but maybe in some ways it's a reflection of what I was saying before about getting a manager in to clear up the shit when the club should be clearing up the shit. But yeah, I don't think those three are great. Xabi Alonso. De Zerbi is in the five. Nagelsmann is at four. What does it say about Nagelsmann? Thomas Frank. Oh, my God. ChatGPT, you're fired. You started off well, but now you're fired. What it says about De Zerbi, already proven in the Premier League, highly respected tactical innovator, build-up play through pressure, risky but brilliant positional structure, creates attacking dominance. He'd bring a clear philosophy. I mean, that's not much, is it? Nagelsmann, elite tactical mind, experienced at top clubs, proven at Bayern and Leipzig, tactical flexibility, high-pressing football, player development. He would bring innovation and modern structure. I actually read something in Bild this morning about how Germany are thinking about going for Klopp because there's a feeling that Nagelsmann goes after the World Cup. And that's not from ChatGPT. That's topical. So I like Nagelsmann. I do like Nagelsmann. I don't think he'd be a bad choice. Yeah. Sam Brock says, now we know where Wilcox and co got the idea for Amorim. Somebody should have told John Murta. Can't remember John Murta. They used to leak out PR that he was at Carrington from 6 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. Somebody should have told him about ChatGPT. Could have had a much shorter day. I actually think he struggled getting remember his password. They didn't say what he was doing for that time. Would you take company? Says Ryan. Yeah, I would. I wouldn't take him because he's ex-Man City. But if you look at the way, but look, I think we went to company at Burnley in the Championship, brilliant football. Burnley in the Premier League, crap. Partially because he didn't have the players to play the system he wants to play in the Premier League. Goes to Bayern Munich, again, amazing players in a league you'd expect them to win. But the way they played this season especially, Luis Diaz, Elise, Kane, Kimmich, just so many, Leonard Carl coming through. They're just, I actually hope Bayern Munich win the Champions League because the way that they play football is incredible. But obviously him being ex-Man City. I mean, I don't know why Man City don't want him. If I was Man City, I'd try and keep Pep for another year and then get Vincent Kompany in because I think Vincent Kompany will probably want to stay where he is. Sam, thank you very much. John United says, giving Carrick the job just because he made the Champions League shouldn't be the benchmark. Putting arms around shoulders and cutting training in half won't fix the team. It's a low standard. Yeah, well, I agree, John. I mean, look, I think Michael Carrick's doing a really good job putting his arm around shoulders and, you know, cutting training and keeping the morale high. But these players won't be the... I think the anti-Carrick argument is doing a really good job with these players, but these aren't the players to take us to the next level. And this style of football is not going to work. So what are we actually learning from Carrick? Like, he's doing really well with what he's got, but to be the next Man United manager, you've got to work with not them and find a style of football that's not this. So it's a leap of faith anyway. It's guesswork, isn't it? And that's my issue. If we keep Carrick, it's guesswork because we're not learning anything from what's happening at the moment. And also, style of play over the last four games has been crap. If we get it right this summer, full-backs, midfield, left wing, there really is a team that we can build on for years to come. Le Mans, new right-back, left-back, De Ligt, Martinez, Yoro, Heavens, new midfielders, Mainoo, Cunha, Mbeumo, Sesko, new left-winger, says Seth. It's a lot of work, but you're right. And that's what United should be looking to do. Only thing with Enrique is that he's had 17 players bought and let 11 go in his short tenure at PSG. United won't do that. Enrique bought it, sold players in his 2 years. We're going to keep sure this is the difference. Yeah, look, Patrick, I will be stunned if Luis Enrique gets the job, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to say he should be the player manager that we're going for. You're absolutely right. I think Wilcox, I'd say it publicly, Wilcox will not appoint a big manager because he can't deal with it. He'll appoint somebody he can bully. He'll appoint, and I don't mean bully, but, you know, Muppet, puppet master. You know, he's going to employ somebody that's going to kiss his arse. He's not going to employ somebody that's better than him because that's not the way Wilcox works. He's an amateur at a big club. So, and you're right, you know, if you come into Man United, it's the open heart surgery. You need to get rid of about 12 players and bring 12 players in. There's no way United are going to want to do that. I want Enrique, but seems more likely. I've done that from Elchi. Thank you very much for that. Sam Brock says, what you said about Kompany applies to Amorim. Great footballer at his last club, but not got the players for the Premier League. If we got him, he'd fail same way, says Sam Brock. Look, I said when we sacked Amorim, did it in my garden. No way back. Still stand by it. I don't think the manager argument changes a thing. I really don't. I don't. I think the thing that needs to change at Manchester United is the ownership and the board. We don't have that. We don't have that. And I think a lot of people will turn the job down. I mean, apparently Tuchel didn't want the Man United job. He'd rather stay at England. That's embarrassing. You won't get a journalist writing that, but it's true. Like, you know, Tuchel could have took the Man United job after the World Cup. He signed to stay in England. Nobody does that. Sven-Goran Eriksson was England manager with the Golden Generation and wanted the Man United job. And then Sir Alex Ferguson decided to stay. Man United's a bigger job than England. And Tuchel's gone, I don't want that in my life. I'll stay here, thank you. That's not being spoken about, but it should be. Why doesn't Tuchel want to leave England to come to Manchester United? Why won't he entertain it? Because he knows what it is. He's turned it down twice now. Turned it down when we were going to sack Ten Hag. So that doesn't get spoken about, that Tuchel turned the England job, the Man United job down twice. And I'm not saying Tuchel was the answer, but why is he turning the Man United job down? Because we've got Pratt's in charge. We don't want to talk about that. What do you think of someone like Simeone? I mean, I would. Simeone's a tough one for me because I think with Simeone, stylistically, he has been sort of tainted as boring. But I think this season and last season, they have changed a little bit. Look, Simeone's on a different level to every other manager we're being linked to realistically at the moment. I mean, Simeone is better than Carrick. He's better than De Zerbi. He's better than Glasner. Whether it's a good fit for Man United or not, I don't know. Whether I could stomach Simeone as Man United manager after what he did to Beckham, I mean, look, I don't think that would be a major issue, to be honest with you. Let me just have a quick look. I'm sure there was something else I wanted to bring into the show. We've got the preview tonight at 8 o'clock. Don't miss that. Interview with Ben Jacobs yesterday was very good. I was watching it late last night. Man United and young defenders. Yeah, but yeah, until that data team actually proves itself, I just don't know. I don't know. I'd rather choose ChatGPT, even if it does think that Amorim's the guy. Okay, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in this morning. Absolute legends. Really enjoyed the show this morning. Really did. Very good show. I stand by it. We should be in talks with top managers now. We should be in talks with top players now. That's what big clubs do. And we shouldn't be going for a centre-back. It's a bad move. There are, you know, we need two good full-backs, two or three good midfielders, and a left winger. That's the priority. That's the priority. Join Beth at 2 o'clock today. It won't be ChatGPT, Beth. That's going to take a little bit longer to sort out, but I'll have a look at the technology. Personally, I'm claiming it. If we can get an AI Goldbridge powered by ChatGPT, I'll take Tuesday and Thursday off and we can use him. Thanks everyone for watching. Stay safe. Take care. I'll speak to you in a bit.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.